All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rinkwide Vancouver. And we welcome you inside our Rinkwide Vancouver studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel, a special second round preview show. It's all a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group. Jeff Patterson joined, as usual, by Irfan Ghaffar, and we're here to break down the Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers, about 48 hours and change away from game number one. It'll go Wednesday night at Rogers Arena. We know the schedule now. Had to wait until the completion of round one of the playoffs. Canucks advanced on Friday. The Oilers have been sitting around for a while since dispatching the Los Angeles Kings, so both teams should be ready and rested and eager to go, and that sort of describes us here on this preview show with a big special guest coming up in about 10 minutes' time. Former captain, former president of the Vancouver Canucks, Trevor Linden. You saw him on the Jumbotron at the Rog in game number 5 against the Predators. Yep. So taking in some playoff hockey, we'll get Trevor Linden's thoughts on what he saw in the opening round and get him to set up the Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. But you can feel it in the market. The buzz is there. It was there through round number one. And when the Canucks advanced on Friday, we knew that they were headed for a showdown with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. And it can't get here quickly enough. Now, maybe it can for the Canuck defenders that have to try to keep McDavid and Draisaitl in check. But on paper, a great matchup. The rivalry, the fan bases should be fun on the ice, should be fun off the ice. Really looking forward to the series getting going.
No, absolutely. And I think that that's the thing. The battle for who is Canada's team now between the Edmonton Oilers and Vancouver Canucks. But you hit the nail on the head there, Jeff. I mean, it is the battle on the ice that's going to be so good. There's so many stars on both sides of the puck. The coaching battle, obviously Rick Tocchet, you know, had up for coach of the year, and you had a guy that came in halfway through in Knobloch with the Edmonton Oilers that is having some success. The Oilers at one point since mid-November were the best team in hockey. The Canucks beat them 4 times this season. So, albeit 2 are in the first week of the regular season, but for me, I mean, I think you got to look at the health of the Vancouver Canucks with the extra couple days off, which is a nice thing, probably a good thing to have, but also the Edmonton Oilers have had some time off as well. You were at practice today at UBC. What'd you see and what'd you hear from a couple of the guys as we lead into game one here?
Yeah, so today was really the first official day of preparation. Saturday, the Canucks had all kinds of travel issues. Some weather kept them on the ground in Nashville. They overnighted after taking care of the Predators, had their fun, run wild on Broadway. Why not celebrate a playoff win? And then the plan was just a travel day home, and it was going to be a long day regardless, but they were hampered by some weather in Tennessee, so they sat on the tarmac for a while. Long day of travel. Sunday was really just a rest and recovery day. They reported to Rogers Arena, did a little bit of media, the coach and some select players. I think a handful of guys went out on the ice. But remember, Pearl Jam is in town, second of 2 shows later on this evening at Rogers Arena. So no ice there today. They were forced out to UBC. And 45-minute practice, everybody on hand and accounted for, including Thatcher Demko, who joined the group after practice and continues his progression, but still a ways away, I think, from suiting up for actual game action. I know that people are wondering, you know, how close is he really? I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you from watching him, still doing just a lot of lateral moves on his feet, not facing any shots at this point, certainly not dealing with traffic and crash creasing and all that kind of stuff that, you know, there are progressions here for him. But for the Canucks, really same old, same old. Same line combinations, same defensive pairings. They only have the one extra forward right now in Nils Zaman. And this is the life of, and I don't want to call him a black ace because he's been here and played, but he is the extra body up front. So practice finishes, about 45-minute practice. And then the assistant coaches just put Nils Zaman through his paces. Like, this guy doesn't get to play in any games, and his reward is to skate and skate hard after practice.
So he's probably the most fit guy on the team.
He'll be ready to go if he gets the call, but it certainly looks like the Canucks will go with the same 12 forwards, six defensemen, and all accounts are Artur Silovs is going to get the game one start, but Rick Tocchet continuing to sort of, you know, sidestep any questions about his goaltending, but I think we can read the room here. It's going to be the guy that posted a shutout in the elimination game in Nashville.
Oh, and I think it's his crease until it isn't.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, there probably is going to be a problem as to a reason why it isn't, whether they're down in the series, whether something terribly went wrong. Obviously, you hope he stays healthy as well, but it's going to be him. And I think that he's earned it, right, Jeff? I think you look at his body of work in a very short sample size in the playoffs. He's calm, he's cool, he's collected. He's made very, very large saves that when he's had to. I mean, you look at that game in game six, that was the goalie game, right? They both played extremely well, and it took kind of a weird play, backdoor pass in front of the net for the Canucks to solve Saros and win that game. But, you know, Artur Silovs stood on his head, and, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we've talked about it before and talked about it time and time again. The year that he's have, the confidence that this kid must be having. You saw the pink shirt with JT Miller, you know, him having fun, guys poking fun at him. It's just a kid that's, you know, it's cliche, but he's really living out his NHL dream right now, playing in the playoffs for the Canucks.
Without a doubt. Hey, this special rink-wide playoff preview, round two preview, a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group, and they've been terrific to deal with and helping us out and getting us on the road. We are in Nashville. Rink-wide's going to be going to Edmonton as well for games 3 and 4, so we'll be all over this series. Wherever it's taking place, we're going to be there. Right now, at Infinity Langley, you can get a 2024 QX60 lease at 0.99%, up 24 months on all trims. And remember, it's all good at Applewood. All right, let's dive into this series because a lot of Sunday's discussion on social media was, who is the underdog here?
Yeah.
The Vancouver Canucks win the Pacific Division. They've got home ice in this series, 50 wins, 109 points. They finished ahead of the Oilers. They swept the Oilers in the regular season series. And yet, you know what the Oilers have done? You pointed out since mid-November, took care of Los Angeles handily. Power play absolutely scorching right now. Like, even talking about it, you can feel the heat. 9 for 20. McDavid and Drysdale, the top two scorers in the playoffs so far in five games. Connor with 2 goals and 10 assists, so 12 points, and Drysdale not far behind, 5 goals, 5 assists. Oh, yeah, Zach Hyman coming off his 54-goal regular season, 7 in that first round against the Los Angeles Kings. So you know the names, you know the challenges for the Vancouver Canucks, and I would say despite the regular season the Canucks have had, you know, this is an Oilers team that has suffered playoff failure in the past, has tried to learn from some of those painful lessons. They're built to win the Cup, and I don't want to say that the Canucks should be satisfied with one round getting past the Nashville Predators, but I think anybody objectively looking at recent form here in the playoffs, or really go back to the All-Star break and Christmas, the Edmonton Oilers, they found their form under Chris Knobloch, and they are a much different team than the Canucks saw those first three games and, what was it, the first 9 on the schedule back in October and into early November.
Well, pressure, right? All the pressure in the world's on the Edmonton Oilers going into this series. You mentioned the Canucks being the underdogs. Yes, they do win the division. Yes, they put up historic numbers. They were up there to maybe win the President's Trophy at one point. They had three guys leading the league in scoring at one point in the season, 1, 2, and 3. But when it comes down to it, everyone had the Edmonton Oilers with their past playoffs in years past. This Oilers team, as constructed, should be going to the conference final. It should be going to the Cup final. So when you do that and you have guys like Connor McDavid who have been putting up crazy numbers here in the first round, he's got, what is it, 12 points in the first round? So he's got that. Their power play, 45%. Their PK, 100%. The Canucks, 90.9. I mean, we'll get to that. So by all accounts, the Vancouver Canucks come into this as the underdog. And as Rick Tocchet mentioned, good. Like, it's a good thing. You don't want to have to play with that pressure on you. Like, the Edmonton Oilers know that if they don't win this series, there's a lot more riding on it than just not making the conference final. like heads will roll in Edmonton if the Vancouver Canucks win this series. And if you're Vancouver, yeah, take it. Be the underdog. Be the team that nobody wants to beat us.
Yeah, and look, for the final couple of weeks of the regular season, there was that talk of, you know, footsteps, and the Oilers were creeping closer. But every time they got within striking distance, it felt like the Canucks came up with an effort that was allowed them to extend their lead again. Ultimately, the Canucks beat the Oilers on that Saturday night, the final Saturday of the regular season, and then clinched the division, the final home game against the Calgary Flames. Canucks were 50-23-9 on the season, 109 points. The Oilers, 49 wins, so one fewer in the win department, 104 points. But... and this is where it gets interesting to me is, you know, they make the coaching change. The slow start cost Jay Woodcroft his job. And they bring in Chris Knobloch. They tighten some things up. I think they got a healthy Connor McDavid. Remember the first 10 games or so didn't look like he was in form. Unfortunately for the Canucks, they saw the Oilers three times in their first nine games and beat them all opening night, that 8-1 romp. And then they went to Edmonton, spoiled the Oilers home opener, and then beat them again 6-2 in early November. But since Christmas, Edmonton tied with Carolina for the league lead with 73 points, 13 more than the Canucks since the Christmas break, second in the National Hockey League since Christmas in goals scored. Only Toronto scored more than the Edmonton Oilers and only by a couple. So we've talked about the form that McDavid is in here in the playoffs, Draisaitl as well. When you're looking at this Oiler team, it feels like they'll start with McDavid and Draisaitl separated, but any coach of the Oilers, whether it was Woodcroft, whether it's Chris Knobloch, you've got that luxury at times. If you feel like the game needs some juice, if you're trailing, you know, you can load up and put those two guys together. But this is how they finished the Los Angeles series at the very least. McDavid centering a line with Zach Hyman and Adam Henrique. Draisaitl on his own line, Evander Kane on one side and the Nuge on the other. So a couple of guys with some strong ties to Metro Vancouver there. Ryan McLeod, their third line center with Corey Perry and Dylan Holloway. And then you've got Derek Ryan, the veteran, Matthias Janmark and Warren Fogle. That's likely how they are going to line up. And then, of course, on defense, they've got their big pairing of Matthias Ekholm and Evan Bouchard. And I'm sure, you know, the Canucks and Canuck fans think that if there is a vulnerability on this Edmonton team, it's a little lower defensively, whether it's Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, Vinny Desharnais. That Bouchard-Ekholm pairing has been lights out good. Ekholm, the stay-at-home guy that's allowed Bouchard really to have this breakout offensive season. He's got the big cannon from the point, and certainly the Canucks are going to see that on that power play that we talked about. So, again, this is an Oilers team that over the years here has suffered some setbacks, but they've tried to learn from them, address them, build on those. And this is a team that is built to try to win the Stanley Cup, and yet so many questions come back to Stuart Skinner as well. Held up his end of the bargain in round one, but we will see. Goaltending, you know, is it going to be an issue on either side? The Canucks are three deep, obviously. Skinner's their starter, but until he gets it done on a lengthy playoff run, I think there are going to be some questions about the job that Stuart Skinner does between the pipes for the Edmonton Oilers.
No, absolutely. And I think from a Canucks perspective, like, you look at that and you see the top pairing. Yeah, you mentioned the vulnerability. I really do think that there is. Like, if the Canucks can play with a little bit of speed, go up by Adam, you know, Darnell Nurse can be beat. You know, guys on that back end, Vinny Desharnais, take some bad penalties. But on the other end, you look at it, for the Edmonton Oilers, if you're looking at the Vancouver Canucks, you know, you've got Quinn Hughes, you know, you've got Philip Roenick, and then you go to Tyler Myers, and then you go to Carson Soucy, and then your third pairing for the Vancouver Canucks of Nikita Zadorov, right, and Ian Cole. So speed kills, right? It's going to see which one of these teams can take advantage of that. So that's why you look at it, and then your matchups. This is the chess game, right? They're going to play Rick Tocchet, obviously, in the first two games, going to be able to dictate who he has going up against Connor McDavid. And as much as the talk and might be JT Miller is the guy, it wouldn't put it past me if, you know, Elias Lindholm ended up being that guy.
You think of Lindholm and Zadorov were brought in to bolster this team's playoff roster. You know, I think one of the byproducts is these guys know the Edmonton Oilers well from the Battle of Alberta, came out on the wrong end of that playoff matchup a couple of years ago. So is it added motivation? You know, these guys just want to win. I don't think it matters who's on the other side, but certainly both Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, they have watched a lot of film. They have seen firsthand what Connor McDavid is capable of. And, you know, I think this is the fine line for the Vancouver Canucks, is trying to be physical, trying to initiate, trying to walk that fine line of finishing every check, but knowing that if you cross the line, trouble's lurking around the corner. Because if you put this Oilers team on the power play again, absolutely dusted the Los Angeles Kings, and we'll see if they're able to do that here in round number two.
No, absolutely. And I think that special teams is going to play a big battle in it, right? You know, you mentioned the numbers of the power play and the penalty kill. If the Canucks power play can get cooking and, you know, they keep up that high PK rate, things are generally going to go pretty well for if you're them. But on the other side of it, you got to try and stop that power play, right? I mean, the Edmonton Oilers, just the way they move that puck has been absolutely dynamic. And honestly, as a hockey fan, I don't care if you're a Vancouver Canucks or anything, it's been fun to watch.
Going to get Trevor Linden in here in a second. Looking forward to his thoughts on what he saw in round one, and as he prepares, I'm sure, to watch round number two. This portion of Rinkwide, a presentation of the Vancouver Canadiens. They're back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. He was the captain of the Vancouver Canucks. He was the president of the Vancouver Canucks. But as we said, he was a fan there the other night with his son in tow, game number five. And Trevor Linden joining us here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Trev, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be with you, Irv. Yeah.
Obviously a player, an executive. I know that you have moved on and found other passions after your playing days in life and in recreation. But at this time of the year, are you still a hockey guy at heart?
Yeah, I'm a sports guy. I love, it's been, it was a lot of fun just the other night. My son is, certainly I introduced him to hockey. I didn't need that for me. He wasn't really interested, which I was totally great with because he wants to be a skier. So that's great. But all of a sudden wanted to go to the game. So he's never been to a game before. So it's kind of his first one. And it was just so much fun. We made that sign the Saturday before, and despite the letters being backwards and a word spelt wrong, it made it to the rink and on the Jumbotron, which I never thought would happen, but it was a lot of fun being there, Jeff. And as you guys are talking about, something special about playoff hockey. I'm not sure there's any sport that comes close to the competitiveness, the uncertainty of the outcome, and just how great spring is when teams are chasing a Stanley Cup. It's such an iconic trophy and so difficult to win. So it's a fun time in Vancouver. And, for Vancouver fans, it's been a while since we've seen playoff hockey in our home rink. So it's been a lot of fun.
You mentioned obviously playoff hockey in spring and, it gets nicer outside, everyone's getting ready for the games and things of that nature. How much different is this city, Trevor? Because it definitely comes alive. I mean, you've been in here as a player, you've been as an executive, and obviously now as your fan, you're watching these games and going to these games and watching them with your son. How much more alive does this city become when it is playoff time?
I mean, that's what's cool for me, because I can see just in some of the players' comments, the guys, maybe this is their first time playing in a Canadian city. Maybe they've played here, take JT Miller. He's played here for several years, but now he's seeing totally different side of what hockey is in Canada. And all of them are going to get blown away with level of intensity and the passion around this next series. Edmonton, Vancouver, you can't get much better than that. And so there's going to be a lot of excitement. And I just, for the players, I just think of them and just how special this time of year is. For me, it was always this, my birthday is April 11th and Masters weekend is right around there and start of playoffs is right around there and the weather was getting better and it was everything was coming together. So it was a really fun time for me as a player and as a sports fan. For me, this is a great time of year. You've got the NBA, which I watch a lot of. You got NHL playoffs. You got Major League Baseball starting. So it's all good out there if you're a sports fan.
I'm just curious, what struck your son about the atmosphere in the building the other night? What were his takeaways?
It was funny because I'd never sat in the bowl before, Jeff. That was my first time. And I actually, it's not true. I did sit in the bowl one other time. It was right after I retired. I was with Prime Minister Harper. But that didn't count because he had a security detail all around us. So, but this was, my wife and I were talking about, I said, I'll be fine. And so he thought it was pretty funny that we were walking through the concourse and people were chanting my name and wanted to take photos. And he thought that was pretty cool. So he was just full of questions, Jeff. It was really, he's six and he's a very curious kid. So he was asking me all sorts of things. Did you play in this arena, Dad? I'm like, yes, I did. And he goes in and he's like, why aren't you playing anymore? Why'd you stop playing? So it was good. It was super fun. We didn't see a win, but that atmosphere in Rogers Arena is pretty special.
Were you having any flashbacks at all throughout that series? It reminded me in some ways of the 2007 series against Dallas, where goals were just so hard to come by. Now, goaltending was incredible with Luongo and Marty Turco back then. But, it's funny, this high-scoring Canucks team for much of the season. And, man, did they have to grind, obviously, to get the goals that they needed to win that series.
For sure, Jeff, and give them credit. I mean, they bought into that's the way we're going to have to win. And, you know, I think that that shows a lot of maturity on their part and just so shows you the kind of the strength that they were able to play that style of hockey. And that's tough sometimes. It's patient. You got to just wait for your chances. And, you know, I thought they were coming back for game seven. I thought for sure Nashville would win at home there at least once at home. But give them credit. They stuck with it and played really well in that third period in game six and just grinded it out. And, you know, Brock made a great play and they got it done. This next series presents a whole host of other challenges, as you guys were talking about earlier.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to ask you. You mentioned, you know, different set of challenges, different team, a team that, you know, before the season, the Edmonton Oilers, everyone has them pegged to be in the Stanley Cup final. And you have this Vancouver Canuck team that kind of came out of nowhere this season, really exceeded everyone's expectations. They're young. Mm-hmm. Now they've made it through this first round and they go in. And is it that, you know, Trevor, you don't really have any pressure? It's a young team led by their young captain in a situation where you once were in Quinn Hughes.
Just Edmonton's had an interesting season. I mean, I thought they were done. I mean, they were so off to such a poor start early on. And I was just like, boy, you get that far behind, it's tough. But they've had, a heck of a second half, you know, three quarters of the season. So just the experience that these guys are gaining, you know, being in a playoff. And I think it's different from the bubble. You can't compare that. I mean, you've got the pressure of opening up at home here. You've got the pressure of, you know, back and forth, different rinks. So it's a different situation than the bubble presented. But I think this young Vancouver team, I mean, is certainly, it's almost like you're playing for free now, right? I mean, you've got through that first round. But I do think that this team, Vancouver's defense is going to, could pose some challenges for, you know, for Edmonton. I mean, they're long, they're rangy, and that's hard to play against, especially when you think about the skill on the other side. But that's a real key to the series. So, you know, and then the whole goaltending thing has been crazy. Who would have thought, you know, Demko goes down after game one, shocked everyone, series over, you know, and then DeSmith is out. And then now they're, you know, it's an amazing story. And it's been a lot of fun to be watching.
Pretty incredible too, Trevor, that the Canucks have won a playoff series with really next to no contributions from Elias Pettersson. And it has been a struggle. And I just wonder, I don't want you to speak for him, but, you know, you knew him a little bit, obviously, as he entered the organization. We've seen what he's done when he's on, but just the player's mentality of, you know, I don't know if you went through this at any point. Most players do at some point where they struggle to find the top of their game. Like, what do you see or what don't you see in Elias Pettersson that he's going to have to figure out here to elevate his game?
100%, Jeff. I mean, I watching that game four, you know, when they came back, you know, they were down two and came back. And I was just like, I actually thought Elias played much better in game five. You know, for them to have any sort of chance, he's got to be their best player or one of them. You're going to go through times where you're not feeling it or not seeing it. But for me, Elias just isn't in the fight. And you know what I mean? And let's be honest here. Playoff hockey is about, it's a war. I mean, you know, and you see how some of these guys are approaching. It's an all-out battle. And it's not so much about making plays. It's about just competing. And, you know, and it's just, for me, when I watch Elias, he's just got to get in the fight. And he's capable of that. But that's going to bring him in and maybe get him going a little bit. But they will not win this series if they don't have him as one of their best players.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Elias Pettersson basically since the All-Star break, to be completely honest. And the whole contract thing came out and everyone was all over that. So he really definitely hasn't been himself. But Trevor, if you kind of look at the series, you handicap it a little bit. Like, the advantage, obviously, is the Edmonton Oilers with their star power and things like that. But from a Canucks perspective, other than Elias Pettersson, like, who are you looking towards to be kind of an X factor here for Vancouver?
I think it comes down to the big three on, or not the, I'll say I, they're the big three on the back end. It's Zadorov and Soucy and Myers. And I just think it's how those guys, and I think Vancouver's ability to play team defense. And also, Jeff, you touched on earlier, just discipline. They can't afford to take bad penalties. I mean, there's just no room for any, you're going to take some penalties, absolutely, but you cannot take unnecessary penalties. And the way this team competed and defended in round one will serve them well. But they've got to generate more offense as well. I think this series is going to take on a different tone, I mean, than that Nashville, you know, defensive difficult. So it'll be interesting to see how the series sets up. But they're not going to win without their best players being their best players. That's Brock. That's JT. That's Elias. I thought Garland had a really good series. He's a competitive guy, and that's critical. But and they're going to need the Blugers and the Joshuas, and they're going to need those depth guys. The Lindholms. I mean, you can't just rely on your top guys for everything. You need, and that's the one strength with this Vancouver team. They've got great depth up front. They've got great depth on the back end. It's going to be a team, total team effort. Guys, I'm going to grab a power cord. Give me 1 second. My computer's going to die. I'll be right back.
All right.
Trevor Linden getting a power cord for Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, well, Canucks may need to power up here ahead of the series against the Edmonton Oilers. I got a couple other things that I want to ask you. It's crazy to think that it's been 32 years since the Canucks and the Oilers met in the playoffs. Now, you got to go all the way back to the spring of 1992, and you know who was a member of the Vancouver Canucks, so I'm going to pick Trevor's brain here in a second. Are you powered up, Trevor? Are you're back with us.
Yeah.
Help me out here, because 32 years since the Canucks and the Oilers have met in the playoffs, second round of 1992. I'll admit, I had to go back and look it up, and I know Joe Murphy scored an overtime goal for the Oilers, and one of the things, Joe was a year ahead of me in high school, so I kept pretty close tabs on on him throughout his career. What do you remember, if anything, about that series with the Oilers?
That was a good lesson, because we had won the old Smythe division. We finished at the top of the Smythe division and got down 3-1 to Winnipeg and got through that and played an Edmonton team that I guess they won the Stanley Cup in 90, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still a pretty good team, had gone through some changes and you know, we were probably favored to win. As a young player, I was 22 years old, I guess. And, you know, you just realize how tough it is to win in the playoffs. And, you know, for us, it was a pretty big disappointment. We had higher hopes than a second round defeat, but those are the lessons, sometimes the hard lessons you learn as a player, as a young player.
Do you think that's kind of where the Oilers are in their evolution now, that, you know, if they are to go out early here, there's going to be so many questions. I mean, obviously Toronto's facing all of that same sort of thing, but this is an Oilers team, as Irv said. Like, you know, they've had the playoff failures the last couple of years. They've had some wins, but they haven't had that long run. McDavid, Draisaitl still looking for a championship. Do you think there is some comparison there, just in that they've learned some lessons and they're trying to apply those this year?
No question. I think that, you know, Connor is he's not only a tremendous player, but I think he's a great leader. And I think he's realized what it takes and how hard it is. And those are lessons you can only kind of, you have to learn, you know. I mean, I guess Chicago kind of got away with it because they won early in their maturation as a team, and it happens. But generally speaking, you think of the wings in the 90s and Stevie Yzerman, everyone wanted him out, you know, to get rid of him because he couldn't win in the playoffs and wasn't a playoff type player. And so I think this, you know, when you look at him and your window is short, I think it's shorter now than ever because of the economics of the game. And you look at how great, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid are, and their time is now. I mean, certainly as you get a little bit older as a player, you realize your chances, they're so limited. You know, you just need so many things to go right. You need your team to stay healthy. You need some bounces. You need some breaks. You need a little luck. You need to play well, all those things. And it's a war of attrition to get through to the finals. And so I think they understand it. It's going to be interesting to see how they come out and approach it. I think the first round for them was a bit of a walk. I don't think LA really gave them too much pushback. And so it'll be interesting to see what this series looks like.
Just one final one for me, Trevor. You mentioned lessons learned. For the Vancouver Canucks, you know, you get through that series and you learn that you can do it with three different goaltenders, I guess, if you're them. But heading into this next round against the Edmonton Oilers, and, you know, Jeff obviously talked about it and some of the players talked about it, like, these American players haven't played in the Canadian market in the playoffs. So you look at it and like Quinn Hughes and maybe even not American, but Elias Pettersson going in this building, what lessons can they take from this one heading into this next round?
I mean, this team has come a long way, Vancouver. I mean, you think about, step back a little bit, you know, like when Travis was here, you know, and basically the same group. And I think there was a real thought, the young players kind of didn't want to play the way Travis thought that they needed to play to win, you know. And then Bruce came in and it was kind of like, well, play however you want. And that was fun for a while, but they realized that we're not going to win. Like, it doesn't matter how talented you are. You can have all the talent you want, but if you're not going to play the right way, and do the little things well, you can't win in this game. I don't care how much skill you have. And I think Rick has done such a good job this year of, there's two things. The players know, and Rick's delivering the message. And the guys, this group has said, hey, if we want to be a good team and win, we got to play the right way. So, I mean, that's lesson number one. And I think that this first round win against Nashville will just reemphasize that, you know, that, hey, you know what? You want to play 0-0 hockey? We'll play 0-0 hockey with you right to the fun, you know, right to the last minute and win it in the last minute. That's a huge confident building type of win they had that you know, you get into playoff hockey and we can win a defensive battle. We're okay with that. We're comfortable in that sort of game. I don't even think the guys are thinking about their goaltender, and because they haven't had to, you know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't matter what guy was in there in the first round, they were fine. And I think they have complete confidence in Shelofs. And I think they got a good taste of the intensity of this market. I think they're going to see another ramp up now with Edmonton, Vancouver. I was talking to a colleague of mine out in Toronto and just asking if the bridges are empty or if they've all jumped or what's happening there. But we were talking about this Edmonton, Vancouver series, and it's like an Ottawa, Toronto series or Toronto, Montreal. You know, I mean, it's just got so much juice. So fun to have a Canadian matchup. And I think the guys they got a taste of it in round one. It's going to be next level here in round two, but give them credit. They've done a hell of a job. And I think, you know, Patrick and his group have done a good job because they've got a lot of depth within the organization, and it showed throughout the year getting contributions throughout the lineup, and they're going to continue to need those contributions. As you guys know, you know, playoff hockey is just, the line is so fine. You know, it's not, you know, regular season, you get a tired Buffalo team in here or you get a bad Calgary team in here, and those are fun games and it's easy, but you're not getting that now. You're getting the best. You're getting a well-rested and the best of the best every night. And this group has seen that, and they understand it. And it's going to be fun to see how they handle this next challenge.
Well, we know that you're a proud Medicine Hat guy, but hopefully for the next 10 days or whatever, you put that Alberta card away that you're a Vancouver right through and through here for the next little while.
You know better than that, Jeff. Come on. I've been out here longer than I've been Medicine Hat. So yeah.
I know. The first round was fun. Kess back in the building. Brendan Morrison was there. Steamer cranking the siren. Great to see. Will we see you back there?
You know, you never know. We'll see if my boy wants to go again. Which I think you probably will. You just might, but I wasn't such good luck there, Jeff. So I'm not sure how welcome I'll be. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, hey, great catching up with you. It's always good to talk hockey with you and pick your brain. Thanks so much for stopping by here and helping us set up round number two.
Thanks, Trevor.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Linden, former captain and the former president of the Vancouver Canucks. Some great insights, some great memories about the lessons learned there in 1992. And again, sort of the tables turned here with this Edmonton team that comes in having learned some of those lessons. And we will see what this Vancouver Canuck team can do to slow them down.
You know, it's interesting when you get to talk to someone who's played in these big games, and obviously Trevor Linden playing in the Stanley Cup final and being a member of this organization and such a pillar in community, jerseys in the rafters. You know the story, everyone knows, but you know, we asked him a question, you did, about a player that is very polarizing right now in these playoffs, or not so much. That's Elias Pettersson. And he said he's not in the fight.
Dig in.
He's got to dig in. And I think that that's something that is very telling, because he's a player that Trevor Linden that's been a part of these big games. And when you can see it, the way that, and it's in someone's games, maybe he's got to do something different. Maybe it's got to lay the boom a little bit, get involved a little bit more. But it was just interesting to hear that kind of perspective from Trevor about a guy that obviously you mentioned, and we know that he was in that organization when Elias Pettersson was drafted.
Just want to bring it full circle, because we started talking about practice out at UBC today, and I had mentioned that Thatcher Demko was out there. I had posted a little bit of video as well on my Twitter account, and we're just going to show Thatcher Demko going through the motions, at least working his way back, hopefully, to some degree of health. You can see him on the far side of the ice there as practice was winding down. Again, this doesn't look like a guy that is ready to get thrown into the fight, not facing shots at this point, not spending a lot of time down in the butterfly and, you know, the puck drills and scrambles and battling through bodies that are crashing in front of him. But, I mean, it's a great sign that he's in full gear. We saw him in Nashville getting in a couple of skates, so it's promising, but certainly don't get your hopes up. If you see him, hey, he was on the ice with the Canucks. Yeah, there's still a long way to go for Thatcher Demko on this road to recovery.
Well, that's the biggest thing. I think that, you know, there's a thought, and it's out there, that maybe late in the series, if it goes 6 or 7, he'd be good enough. But in my honest opinion, and just from talking to some people, it would be good enough to back up. I don't think it'd be good enough to go and make a start. I think this is Artur Shelov's series. And I think that for him, knowing that going in, yes, there's going to be all the noise around him and around Thatcher Demko because he is their number one guy. But right now, and Shelov's won them the series against the Nashville Predators, it's going to be his series against the Edmonton Oilers. It's positive vibes that Demko's out there for sure. But when's he really going to practice? A lot of them are going to be optional now. They've got games every other night. You know he's going to want to get into that in full. And then just the intensity of a playoff game, Jeff. And I know that, you know, the bubble Demko and all of that is going to come into play. But you get bumped around by a guy like Evander Kane in front of the net, you know, take a little jab at your knee. And I know it's gamesmanship and guys, you say sportsmanship, but it's not like that in the playoffs when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup. So I think that when we go and look at it, you know, the longer this series goes, the less likely that Thatcher Demko is going to appear. But stranger things have happened, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Another full practice day for the Canucks. They move back downtown into Rogers Arena. The Oilers are going to skate in Edmonton and fly in, so we won't see them on the ice until Wednesday game day, probably an optional for them. So we'll see how teams handle game day, but this much we know, and again, we had to wait for it. But once Dallas took care of Vegas, the schedule for round two was out Wednesday and Friday here in Vancouver, Sunday and Tuesday in Edmonton, and then from there, we'll see how things play out. And again, Rinkwide's going on the road the way we did in round number one, so Irf, you'll be here in studio for those road games. I'll be there at Rogers Place and bring you the very latest after games 3 and 4, and you know, it's funny when you see 23 of 24 ESPN pundits picking the Edmonton Oilers and Ryan Clark, the only one that had the Canucks. I think he had them in 7. It brings us back to this conversation about who's the underdog here. Certainly the ESPN panel, including Mark Messier, picking the Edmonton Oilers. But, you know, it was funny. JT Miller was like, I don't see us as the underdogs. Rick Tocchet was like, no, embrace that. You know, people have been doubting us all season long. Didn't think we'd make the playoffs. Didn't think we'd win a division championship. Didn't think we'd get out of the first round. So kind of interesting to see the differing approaches to being the underdogs, if in fact that is what the Canucks are. But once the puck drops, it's game on. And, you know, if you want to win, there's pressure on anybody that's taking part in this series. But can the Canucks slow McDavid and the Oilers down? Can they stay out of the penalty box and keep that vaunted power play at bay? Just want to set up what's ahead for round number two. You can see behind me here, we're well stocked with our Four Winds brewing, and we would recommend that you do as well and support one of our sponsors that come on board here in the playoffs. Some of our other partners as well, Fountain Tire and Mr. Lube, Great Clips, Bet365. So we've got a whole lot. A reminder, when the Canucks go on the road, the viewing parties at Greta Bar YVR, if you're looking for a place, looked like it was a lot of fun there for the clincher on Friday night, and I'm sure those will only build here into round number two. So if you're new to Rinkwide and you're checking us out for the first time, hey, welcome. We've been doing this all season long, and certainly here in the playoffs, after every Canucks game, we go live moments after the final buzzer, break it all down, all sorts of regular features and all kinds of analysis as well. And your feedback is so important. It's such a vital component to what we do here at Rinkwide as well. You can see on our screen all of our feedback channels. Please make note of those. And we'll want your thoughts after game 1 and 2 and as this series moves along. But countdown is on to 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Rogers Arena, they played all season to win the Pacific, to have home ice for this very specific reason. And Look, they only won one of three games at the Rogers. 27 wins in the regular season. They were a dominant team on home ice, and yet Nashville took 2 of 3. So if the Canucks are going to beat the Oilers, they're going to have to find a way to protect their fort here, get a few more wins. Canucks were terrific. They were perfect on the road. Went 3-0 in Nashville, but they've got home ice. We'll see if they can take full advantage of it. And you know, if they can get the opener, we talk about underdogs and pressure. What if the Canucks can get the series opener? Now, the Oilers will have something to say about that, but all that talk about the regular season and did it mean anything? If the Canucks can post a fifth straight win over the Edmonton Oilers, like the pressure only goes up on the Oilers, and maybe that regular season, even though the games were early, like maybe it does matter. Again, you've got home ice. See if you can take advantage of it. They, bit of a slow build in game number one against Nashville, but they, that 12-second span in the third period where they turned that game, whatever, they got the job done in game number one. Can they repeat that? Because I think if they can, man, that puts a ton of pressure right out of the gate on the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, absolutely. The Scribes in Edmonton will be looking to carve the Oilers team if that happens, right? And I think when you look at it, it's the pressure thing, right? It's Canucks really playing with house money at this point. Like, your season right now is, for all accounts, it's been a success, right? You win the first round. You get in and you win the first round. It took 6 games, but you did it. You know, you got past the first round opponent in the playoffs to show you can do it. Now you have the big, bad Stanley Cup potential, you know, candidate coming into your building. Like you've mentioned, Jeff, if you can take one, you know, you have that belief. Why can't you take two at home, right? They're in your building. This is your house. This is your territory. You know, you dictate matchups and you can dictate the pace of play early on. You know, the first 10 minutes of that game, the crowd is going to be absolutely bananas. This city is going to be going absolutely bananas. It leads me to my next question. When you look at this series as a whole, I know we'll talk about it obviously tomorrow and after game one, but if you're looking at something that you're circling in the matchup of this series, what is it for you that stands out?
Discipline for the Canucks. Stay out of the box. If they get power plays, they've got to find a way to get it going more than they did against Nashville. I mean, they were 2 for 13, but both of the goals came in the one game, game three, that they won 2-1. So special teams, I'm curious to see how it's called, but also, look, McDavid's going to get his looks. The players themselves were talking about that. So it's limiting him more than stopping him. And that size on defense, and how do the Canucks go about matching up? I'm really curious about all of that. Obviously, they need Elias Pettersson going. Some interesting comments from Trevor Linden there. But beyond that, I look at a guy like Dakota Joshua, who had his moments and was a part of that penalty kill that was sensational against the Predators. So I don't want to diminish the contributions of Dakota Joshua. He had a great first game. I had 2 goals, including the empty netter. But really, after that, was kind of quiet. And that line as a whole, think of the stretch there in the middle of the season where that third line was really the best line the Canucks had going, and they were so consistent. Joshua came back from the hand injury, scored a bunch of goals, looked like he had found his form. I thought he was a little too quiet for my liking. Like, he's got the size, he's built for playoff hockey. So as much as if you're asking me, like, who needs to step up, obviously the answer is Elias Pettersson, and Artur Silov has to continue this storybook journey that he's on. But if there's a guy beyond those that I look at, I would say Dakota Joshua. I just think it's fair to expect more because I know there is more than we saw over the final 5 games of that series against the Predators.
Yeah, I agree with you. Discipline one, you know, Corey Perry, Vander Kane, Dylan Holloway, Warren Fogel, Matthias Janmark, those guys are going to be running around. They're going to get into your heads. They're going to try and get into your heads at least. The extracurriculars after the whistle are going to happen. You just can't bite the bait if you're the Vancouver Canucks. You know, Tyler Myers, obviously, you know, we talk about so much this season. Rick Tocchet has talked about it. The stupid stick penalties. Well, the Edmonton Oilers are a very fast team. It's going to be easy to take those penalties if you are them. Just, you know, keep that in check if you can, if you're the Vancouver Canucks. But for me, it is the depth of this team, right? It's, you know, you mentioned Dakota Joshua on him, but it's Nils Höglander, right? I mean, we can talk all we want about Ilya Mikheyev and shooting, and I think the jury's out on him. We're just going to leave him alone probably, but it's Nils Höglander. The guy's a 24 goal scorer in the regular season, 5-on-5, all of them. Right. So he's a guy that's going to need to come into this series and wake up a little bit as well. But yeah, Connor Garland, you know, kind of disappeared a little bit as well. So you can't put this entire series on JT Miller, Brock Besser, and Pia Suter. Elias Lindholm, yes, he was great in round one. You'd probably expect him to get the tougher matchups in round two, but it's going to come to the depth of this team to see, you know, who wants it more.
Wrote a piece at Canucks Army, a recap of practice out at UBC today if you want all the details of what the Canucks did and some of the video and some other things. I thought an interesting quote that I included in the story, and you can find it at Canucks Army, is Rick Tocchet said, like, look, I know this marketplace is horny for more shots. I hear you, he said. But then he went about this idea that the way to stop the Oilers is to control the puck, to have the puck yourself, to force them to defend. And he said, like, I just don't want guys firing the puck high and wide, and then it rims around the boards. And he said, guess what? McDavid skates on.
Flying the other way.
He said, like, that is the worst thing. He said, I'm not here to, you know, jack the shot clock. This isn't about winning the shot competition. It's about winning the hockey game. So I thought interesting that, you know, even though the shot totals were low and the Canucks at times struggled to get pucks through to the net, part of that is by design, that the Canucks want to hold on to the puck. Unfortunately, you can't pass it into the net. I mean, the Sedins used to do that on occasion. But yeah, look, they beat Nashville with 13 goals. I do think it's going to take a little more offense from the Vancouver Canucks to get the job done against the Edmonton Oilers, but the Canucks are locked in earth defensively. They love the way that they play. They gave up two goals over the final two games, only one of them at 5-on-5. They made it difficult for the Predators. Now, the Oilers are a better offensive team, but the Canucks believe in their structure and their system. Look, if they get the lead, we've seen it all season long.
Yeah.
When they get the lead, they generally are able to dictate. It took them a while to get the lead in game number 6, but they stuck with it. And a guy like Pia Suter, who took a puck in the face in game 5, left for a while, came back, had all those chances in game 6. And you know what? He stuck with it. And he kept going to the front of the net, the right areas. And eventually he was rewarded. And look, Pia Suter was a guy. Like, he just didn't have a track record. I didn't know. Is he built for playoff hockey? Was he going to be able to come through for the Canucks? In the end, I would say, like, there are different kinds of playoff toughness. And that's one of them, that he was willing to stick with it. Even though, you know, some guys would get frustrated that they had all those chances and they couldn't be the hero, he kept going to the front of the net. And generally, there's a price to be paid to go to the dirty areas, but he did. Besser with the incredible pass. Pettersson, the nice play to jump the defender to keep that play down low and alive. But Pia Suter on the business end, the only goal the Canucks needed, the only goal they got in game number 6. So are they going to shut the Oilers out 1-0?
You need more than 12 shots, though.
You're going to need more.
In one game.
More shots and more goals. And you haven't asked me for a prediction yet. And it's all there for the Edmonton Oilers. But I do think the Canucks are going to be able to put up a pretty good fight here. Just the way that they play stylistically, as long as they don't feed into the Oilers' power play.
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, these are our next thing about getting to our predictions. But yeah, I think it is. The power play is, look, I mean, the power play can win a series. In the special teams battle, right? Power play and PK. If you win those, and, you know, chances are you're going to win more hockey games than not. And the Edmonton Oilers prove that with the LA Kings taking bad penalties. That's just it, right? That's what you harp on. That's your message if you're Rick Tocchet. Just don't take penalties. And even if you're the Oilers and you're Knobloch talking to his team, don't take penalties either. This Canuck power play, it didn't cut loose against the Nashville Predators, but it's shown that it can, right? If Elias Pettersson ends up, you know, digging in, as Trevor Linden said, or Elias Lindholm can get something going on the power play there. You know, this Vancouver Canuck team can put up some pretty big numbers as well. So, you know, I'm just looking at the Connor McDavid shot totals. Like, he had 4 in game 5, 1. In game 4, right? Then he had 5-1-3. Like, he put up points, a lot of them assists. And yes, you know, you have to pass the puck to go into the net. Just one goal in that opening round series against the LA Kings. All right, well, I guess let's get to it then. Prediction-wise, what do you think? Also, Ryan Clark resides in the Seattle area, ESPN's Ryan Clark. So we'll give him that. Pacific Northwest guy as well.
I think if the Oilers are going to get it done, they better do it in game 6. Because if it comes back to Vancouver, yeah, again, you play all season for home ice to start the series, but you also play to have a 7th game, if necessary, on your sheet of ice in your building. And again, the nerves and the pressure, if it gets to that, if the Canucks could boil it down to a 1 game to advance, you know, I probably like their chances at that point. My head is picking the Oilers. I just think that, again, there's probably too much there. We do Canucks post-game pods. I want this thing to keep going. I want this wave to roll for a while now. So, you know, head says Oilers, but the heart says Canucks. Let's see if they can pull off what would be an upset here and leave the people in Edmonton scratching their heads as the Canucks would advance to the third round of these playoffs.
Yeah, it's wild when you look at it. Like, the Canucks are such a heavy underdog, even on the betting lines when you look at it, right? The plus 205 to win the series. You look at them to get swept, it's plus 225. To win one game, it's plus 230. This is just the odds just looking at them. I think the Oilers getting done in 6. I am giving the Canucks a couple games. So trust me, I want to do this as long as we possibly can as well. I just think the Oilers team itself and how much they have stake is a lot. And for the Vancouver Canucks, I think they're going to walk into a team that, you know, is pretty hungry. I think that, you know, you go into Edmonton in that environment as well, and those Oilers fans, it's going to be a lot for some of these guys. You know, you mentioned that they haven't been a part of it and it's something new. So it's going to be interesting to see that the way that they handle that, as well as everything on and off the ice as well. The Edmonton throng of media that is going to be in this building as well in the next couple of days, over the next 10 or 12 days or so, should be interesting. So I have the Oilers in 6. I picked them to do that, but we'll see what happens.
Chris Cuthbert and Craig Simpson, Scott Oak, Hockey Night in Canada, throwing its number one team. These are the only two Canadian teams remaining in the Stanley Cup Finals. Eight teams still with a shot, and obviously two of them here in Western Canada. It's going to be fun. It's already been fun. I've seen some bombs being thrown on social media, and that's only going to continue and ratchet up as this thing goes along as well. Have fun with it. Don't be stupid. I've seen some stupid stuff out there.
There's so much stupid stuff out there.
Just keep it within reason here. It is a game, ultimately. I know it means a lot to everybody on both sides, but show a little bit of class as you wage your war and try and have some fun with it. We're having fun with it here at Rinkwide. Again, to set things up after every single game, moments after the final buzzer, enough time for you to, you know, run to the can, whatever, grab a drink, and then log on and join us here. We'll do this after each and every game through the playoffs as long as the Canucks are alive. And it starts on Wednesday, 7 o'clock local time here, the face-off for game number one. The Rod was alive in the opening round. That's only going to continue and increase as the series and these playoffs go along. For Trevor Linden, it was great to catch up with Trevor. Yeah. And we thank him for being generous with his time. For the guys working behind the scenes back in the producers area, Jacob and Mike, we thank them for all of their hard work through the playoffs. Irf, this was fun. Playoffs have been fun. Round two is going to be a blast. Looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
Can't get here quickly enough. 7 o'clock Wednesday night, and then we'll be here post-game. So that's going to do it for us. For Irf, this is Jeff Patterson. Again, make sure you join us here on Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.